Welcome to Lugano Pico Seminary Church online service on the third Sunday after Pentecost, which is the 13th of June 2021. I'm Irun Kim, the minister of LPUC. Today's gospel reading is from the Gospel of Mark chapter 4, and it is talking about two Jesus parables, the parable of growing seed and the mustard seed. In the parables, Jesus explains what it means to be in covenant with God, to be a worker in God's vineyard, to be part of God's kingdom. Jesus describes the kingdom of God, and we'll find more about that later. Today's call to worship is here on the screen. It is responsive one. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is a day of new beginnings. This is a time for growing into new disciples of Jesus. Open your eyes and your hearts to God's Spirit. Come, let us prepare ourselves for worship. Let us be prepared for service to God. Rejoice, for God is with us this day. Thanks be to God for God's loving presence. Amen. Let us pray. Loving God, Creator of all that we can see, feel, and hear, we thank you for being in our lives, for sharing our fears and our hopes, for loving us as we are, not who others think we should be, not who we wish we were, but who we are. Your beloved children created in your image to be in this time and this place. Lord, we come this day to worship you. Please make our hearts ready to receive your word for us and help us to be like you, to see the good in those around us and not to judge others. Guide us as we try to live a life that honors you and makes the lives of those around us better every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us worship God by singing the first song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Do you really lift our eyes?
Hi, this is Amy. Today's first Bible reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 to 17. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live shall no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. The second reading is from Mark chapter 4, verses 26 to 34. The first one is the parable of the growing seed. He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grape is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." The second one is the parable of the mustard seed. Again he said, "What shall we say of the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when it is planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds may perch in its shade." With so many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them, as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable, but when he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything. This is the words of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Today we have beautiful flowers here at the back as usual, and they are chrysanthemum and also sterile lisa. Am I right? And another names in the birds of paradise or crane flower. I don't have the seeds of these flowers, but imagine and ponder how such a small, dull little thing becomes such a colorful and wonderful flower. In today's gospel reading, Jesus points out that just as the flower grows from the seed, God's kingdom grows from all the little gifts, and these people everywhere do every day. Today I brought a seed and mustard seed. I guess you cannot see it because it is very tiny, but it is amazing that such a small seed can turn into such a big shrub. In today's gospel reading, Jesus points out that every small thing we do can make such a big difference. In fact, one little mustard seed doesn't just produce one bush. Mustard bushes are weeds. One quickly becomes several, and several soon take over the whole field. That tells us, you know, something else about God's kingdom. It is unstoppable. It is going to fill the whole world. And I guess if Jesus were telling that parable today in our culture, it might point to a giant, this is another tricky word, what is called sequoia. And it is massive living thing on planet Earth. The General Sherman stands nearly 275 feet, which is 84 meters tall, with a growth of more than 102 feet, which is 31 meters near its base. It takes 54 people holding hands to stand in a circle around the trunk of a giant sequoia tree. And yet the seed of the giant sequoia is about the size of an auto flake. So it is about a mighty plant from a tiny seed. I think it is good modern, you know, example with which to make the point of the mustard seed parable. Now let us take a time to reflect on these questions, or maybe you have a discussion with others if it is possible in your place. Where do you see the potential in your congregation? Who can play a role in realizing this potential? What is holding you? What is holding your congregation back from this potential? How can you move beyond any barriers? Remember, every small thing we do can make such a big difference. Just as a tree grows from the seed, God's kingdom grows from all the little gifts and all those deeds people everywhere do every day. The kingdom of God is a pretty big deal in the Bible. In the New Testament alone, it is mentioned 72 times. In the Gospels, it is a subject Jesus talks about more than any other subject. And yet, despite the fact that Jesus talks about it a great deal, we Christians tend to be rather unclear about what exactly is meant by these four words, the kingdom of God. There are a number of reasons for our lack of clarity. The most obvious is that we don't understand the concept of kingdom. It is not an idea that resides at the center of our mental map. In fact, to most of us, the idea of kings and kingdoms seems at best ancient and outdated, and at worst, ridiculous. Another reason we are unclear on the subject is because many Christians insist that the kingdom of God is equal to heaven. And concerned, the kingdom of God is about heaven, and heaven is a physical, geographical place that your soul and your spirit goes to after you die. When we take all 72 of the New Testament texts together as a whole, we see that the kingdom of God is not necessarily a physical place, neither is it solely a reality that comes to us only after we die. The kingdom of God is, if we take scripture seriously, both a present reality as well as a future one. It is as much about the depth of our life as the length of it. It is as much a vertical measure as it is a horizontal one. It is more about how we live now than about where we will live in the future. And nowhere is this more evident than in the two little seed parables that Mark provides for us today. When we say the word parables, we usually think of stories like the stories of the Good Samaritan, the prodigal son, stories with character plots and so forth. But there is another kind of parable that the major characters or objects in the image and metaphor have a contrasting parallel in life. These two seed parables are of this second type. They compare the kingdom of God to a seed that is sown upon the ground. Here we note that Jesus rarely ever defines the kingdom of God in the Gospels. He usually simply describes it. In this case, beginning his description with the kingdom of God is like. See verse 26. It says, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground." He goes on to describe the farmer going to his house after he has sown the seed, then going to bed and getting up the next morning to find the seed has sprouted and grown. Seed doesn't sprout and grow overnight, but that's not the point. The point is that the farmer doesn't concern himself with how this sprout and growth happens. He is content that it happens. There are mysterious forces at work in this process. And the farmer is perfectly fine with that. He doesn't need to know how everything works, only that it does work. When the harvest time has come, the farmer doesn't say, "Wow, I cannot harvest this crop until I understand every aspect of how and why they grow the way they do." If a farmer did that, we would all starve. Likewise, I don't have to know how my car runs to get from one place to another. All I have to know is that it runs and how to get it started. I don't have to know why the value of a pie is 3.14 in order to find the area of a circle. I just need to know that it is, and apply to the other numbers I have according to the formula. As far as I am concerned, it works because it works. Our lives are filled with beautiful and wonderful mysteries that we usually accept as a marvelous thing, a gift even. Why does a certain music give us the cold chills or bring a tear to our eyes? Why does the sound of a child's laughter automatically fill us with joy? Why are we drawn to a painting in the art gallery, hardly walk away from it? Why do we want to hear the same songs, see the same plays, hear the same stories and poems, and taste the same food over and over again throughout our life? Why do they still give us the same measure of pleasure or joy or inspiration or whatever it is that they always have? We live this mystery every day of our lives and have come to love it and accept it and even enjoy it. Mark tells us in this parable of Jesus that the kingdom of God is like those other mysteries, a gift offered to us by God. And we don't need to know the whys and wherefores of it. All we have to do is accept it and apply it to our lives. Just the way we accept the value of a pie and apply to the formulas. Just the way we accept these or that pieces of music and place it in on the shelf with the rest of the music that makes our lives so rich and full. Life in the kingdom of God is comfortable with the presence of awe and mystery. And this mysterious, wonderful kingdom of God is not just some place we go at the end of our lives. It is available to us right now, if we will accept it and apply it to our daily living. The second story is a more familiar one to most of us. See verse 30. It says, What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? He begins. Then he answers his own rhetorical question. It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. The comparison here is one of the size and potential. What starts out very small can become very big. What starts out weak can become strong. What starts out insignificant can become hugely significant. What starts out unimportant can become very important indeed. And when you see this happening, and Jesus says, watch out, because you just may be already living in the kingdom of God. Not every small thing becomes big, but in the kingdom of God, every small thing has the potential to become a big. When you live in the kingdom, you don't dare dismiss anything or anyone regardless of their size. No person is so weak that they cannot become strong. No act is so insignificant that it cannot become life-saving. No idea is so irrational that it cannot lead to a problem solved. In the kingdom, there are no throwaway moments, no insignificant conversations, no unimportant people. Every person who walks through the door is important. Every word spoken is a witness. Every life touched is a gift of God. I guess some of you might have met someone who came up to you and asked if you were Mrs. or Miss so-and-so at a meeting or event occasionally, even at a shopping center or grocery shop. And then the person told you their name and how important you were to them in their teenage years, how much they received from you and how much they learned, and sometimes they even quoted back to you some of the things that you said to them that they still carry around with them. Occasionally there is a claim that you changed my life, and followed by a hug or vigorous handshake. After the incident, you might have wondered who that was. You had no idea what you had done and what you have said. You may have known them as a teenager in the midst of dozens or even hundreds of teenagers, but you had no recognition of them as an adult. But that doesn't matter. The just little seed you planted 20 or even 30 years ago, maybe at Sunday school, youth group, scripture class, or at church service, never knowing and maybe even wondering if it was doing any good at all, has grown, blossomed, and matured into something really grand and important. And here's the thing. We had no control over its growth. We didn't even know if it was growing or not. It was out of our hands. You were just sowing seeds. This is the life in the kingdom of God. Little things are made big. Seemingly unimportant things are made important. The seeds which we plant sometimes grow into marvelous, active Christian human beings. Like the farmer, we sow seeds. When the weather is good and looks promising, we sow seeds. When the weather is bad and washes the seeds away, we sow more seeds. The farmer's seeds are soybeans, corn, wheat, and hay. Ours are love, peace, kindness, joy, hope, and grace. We sow them regardless of the weather. When the weather brings the hate, we sow seeds. When the weather brings tragedy, we sow seeds. When the weather brings despair, we sow seeds. When the weather brings pain and misery, we sow seeds. They may grow or they may not. How they grow is a mystery to us. They may seem small and insignificant, but that's okay. They don't have to be big, because if God's kingdom, they all have potential. The potential to sprout, potential to grow, potential to spread out and become huge trees of grace. Huge, shade-giving, life-saving trees of grace. Amen. Let us worship God by singing, Live for the Kingdom.
Hello, my name is Denise, and I will be leading us today in our prayers for others. I find the Psalms in the middle of the Bible very encouraging, as they are authentic prayers of people in the past. They often pour out their heart concerns and then praise God by faith. As we do this, we find faith replaces fear, peace replaces worry, and joy replaces anxiety. Let us now bring our concerns to God and also praise Him, for He hears us and loves us. Dear Heavenly Father, we bring before You those we know in need, for Bob Wynnum and Cheryl, for good recovery and strength, for June Bulow to know Your presence in her situation, for Barbara Peterson, Peg Hankins and others who are in need of Your strength and grace to manage each day in their older age. For those who are shut in and isolated, Your strength and peace and comfort. We pray Your continued guidance and wisdom for our church here at Lugano, to be led by Your Holy Spirit in all our decisions. We pray for Ulung, for Natalie, for church council and each member, especially at our congregational meeting next Sunday. Help us to connect with all ages and to be relevant in sharing Your love with those in our community. Guide and bless our ministries of Messy Church, Mainly Music, Operation Christmas Child and Men's Shed. May You bless our upcoming fashion parade with the right number of people coming and enough people helping. We pray for our scripture teachers in our local schools. Pray Your protection and blessing and wisdom for them to be able to communicate Your word in a relevant way. May You open the ears and hearts of the students they teach. We pray for an end to the COVID pandemic, and especially for the poorer countries to receive enough vaccinations for their people. We pray for our own vaccination rollout in Australia to go well. We pray for our local, state and federal leaders to lead humbly, with integrity, grace and compassion, seeking Your wisdom to do the best they can for the people they serve. We praise You, God, for You are loving, good, kind, merciful, just and faithful. Thank You that You promise to be with us in all circumstances and situations. Thank You that You promise to work all things out for our good and Your glory as we seek to love and follow You. In Jesus' name, Amen.
These are announcements for today. Now, firstly, high tea and fashion parade will be held this coming Saturday, which is 19th of June at 2 p.m. I checked with Annette, who is the coordinator, that there are only a few places are just, you know, available. So if you want to come, and you have to be quick to register with Annette or Lynn. And for information, all profits will go to support the scripture teaching at Pickhurst High School. June Mass Church is held on Sunday, 27th of June at 4 p.m. We'll learn how God protects us through activities and songs and the message. And as usual, there will be lots of fun games and activities and yummy food. So more information, contact via email or phone on the screen. Each year, our church commits 2 Sundays to give a special thanks offering in response to all of our blessings received from God. This year, our church council has decided to support Frontier Services, which is a national agency of the United Church in Australia, especially to help farmers affected by the floods and the mouse plague. So I think it is a great opportunity for us to support our farmers that are struggling with their business and also their life. So if you are willing to donate the fund, their bank account details are on the screen. To attend service, Sunday service at 10:15 a.m. here at Lugano Pickhurst Nutting, everyone needs to register with a bearer bull via phones or email. The details are on the screen. This is blessing. Life is a mystery. We walk by faith. God calls us when we least expect it, inviting us to be in Christ. Feel the love of God growing within your heart. Go into God's Word, planting seeds of love, mercy, joy, and peace in all that you say and all you do. Be at peace and serve God. Amen. This is the end of today's online service. Thank you for your participation. Hope you have a very blessed day and blessed week. See you next week. I got no worries. Me.